Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
Welcome to Inside the Friendly Confines, a Cubs-centric podcast with Jesse Rogers, brought to you by Good Karma Brands, ESPN 1000, and our friends at Arlington Toyota. Glad to have you with me as we drop this episode on Tuesday afternoon before the Cubs begin a series with the Baltimore Orioles. It's the final week before the All-Star break. I'll be in Philly for that game, along with center fielder Pete Crow Armstrong. PCA had quite the surge in June to make his second All-Star team. Congrats to him. What a season he's having, especially at the leadoff position. He's just been on fire since being moved up there. I'm not sure that there's a cause and effect to that. I think he's just a good player who's maturing, and we're seeing it all come out in this first half. His second straight All-Star appearance. I mean, how many is this guy going to have? He hasn't even hit 25 yet. Leave your thoughts in the comments. How many All-Star games and teams will PCA make over the course of his career? If you're watching on YouTube, leave them in the comments. And I'm curious to see what you think, because, man, this guy is just at the beginning of a long, long career. Unfortunately, he is the only All-Star. I think Ben Brown, who I talked to on the podcast last week, would probably have made it if he didn't get hurt. So it's just PCA in Philadelphia, and I'll be there to document everything he does in the game. He's not doing the home run derby. I think he'll do it next year when it takes place at Wrigley Field. So the Cubs, again, final week before the All-Star break. Didn't have the best weekend against the Cardinals. They salvaged that finale on Sunday. Maybe a bit of a gift as St. Louis took the lead and then threw the ball all over the diamond. And the Cubs retook the lead, eventually won. Just kind of part of that up and down season that they've been having. Last Wednesday, they scored three touchdowns against the San Diego Padres, and then it's a little bit tougher over the weekend against the Cardinals. Again, just winning one of those three games. Dansby had a pretty good week since we last dropped an episode. Michael Conforto did some damage, but there's other guys struggling. Suzuki is in a bit of a slump. Alex Bregman's still trying to find his way through his season-long slump, and unfortunately, he hasn't completely come out of it, though there's been moments. He's still taking some walks. That's good. There's moments where Nico Hoerner looks like his old self, but they're not completely back. It's just been a roller coaster on offense. They're not the only team. That happens around baseball, but it's been very dramatic with the Cubs. So let's see what happens in Baltimore this week. Coming up on this episode, we're going to do a supersized Inside the Clubhouse segment with audio clips that I want to bring you from both Jed Hoyer and Dan Kantrovitz, the Cubs' vice president of scouting. Maybe you didn't know, the Major League Draft is this weekend. So we will break it down. Kantrovitz met the media over the weekend, so I'm going to bring you some of that. And Jed Hoyer talked to reporters on Friday. I want to break some of that down as well. And then, of course, we'll take your questions as we do every episode that we don't have a guest. And producer Jack McGrath, where can people leave those questions?
Yeah, Jess. So people can leave their questions. Just tweet me at JackMcGrath1000. The other place, just comment on our YouTube page. So if you're watching on YouTube right now, drop it in the comments. I go through those and we'll ask them to Jesse on our next episode.
Sounds good, Jack. Now let's not bury the lead. Before we do anything else, a huge programming announcement. Our next episode later in this week will feature the manager of the Chicago Cubs. Yes, Craig Counsell will join me while the team is in Baltimore. That's likely to drop Thursday afternoon. So tell your friends and family about this podcast. We're in week number 5. We've had some good guests from Jason Kipnis to Ben Brown to even Matt Arnold from the Brewers. And now it's the manager of the Cubs, Craig Counsell. He's coming up later this week on Inside the Friendly Confines. It has been fun to go outside my radio duties and do this podcast. We're in week number 5 of it. So a lot of fun and looking forward to an extended conversation with Craig Counsell. All right, let's go inside the clubhouse right now. Okay, we do this most episodes. We go inside the clubhouse to bring you some audio from players, the manager. In this case, it's going to be the president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, and the vice president of scouting, Dan Kantrovitz, as the draft is this weekend. So let's start with Jed Hoyer. I asked him if really the next month is about learning what you have on your pitching staff before the trade deadline. David Peterson is new, didn't have a great second outing with the Cubs. So we'll see what he kind of brings to the table over the next 3 or 4 weeks. But also just getting the walking wounded back. What's that going to look like? Where does Hobie Milliner fit in after his appendicitis? Jamison Tyon's due back. So, like, there's a lot of moving parts here that I think Jed's going to learn a lot about over the next month. So that's what I asked him about here in this clip.
The market kind of determines that anyway. It's not like there's tons of teams that are, you know, looking to move players at this moment. I mean, everything is so bunched together. So, I think that's what's going to happen. We'll keep making small moves and, you know, keep trying to, you know, patch holes and do those things. And, you know, the hope every time is that you churn through, you know, and you find a guy or two that can really help you, you know, over the long haul. And I hope we can find that and look back and say, like, this period of time and this of flux in the bullpen and the rotation allowed us to find something, and hopefully we can do that.
So, yeah, I mean, if Jamison Tyon finds his game or David Peterson has a big month of July, that will inform him in terms of what the needs are in the rotation, or maybe they need less in the rotation. Same thing with the bullpen. As they get healthier there, what does that look like? Do they need to find a back-ending guy because Palencia doesn't find it again or continues to be injured? So those questions, I think, are huge for this month. Along those lines, I think just the idea that this season's been such a roller coaster is informative in itself, but it's difficult for Jed Hoyer to kind of use that information. What if they're slumping in a big way in late July, but then they go on one of those runs in August, or vice versa? They're great in late July, and then the one of those bad runs comes. And yes, that can happen to any team, but we've seen this season be more extreme with these streaks, and it can fool you. I mean, it's fooled all of us, right? When you talk about the first month or month and a half to the second month, and then, you know, back to being playing well here in late June, early July. So I think all of that is can be confusing for Jed Hoyer, and that's what we talked about in this clip.
Has been a really up and down season. I guess that may continue, or I guess that may, you know, there's no reason to think that's the way the rest of the season is going to go. It could go that way, or we could just, you know, proceed to you know, level things out. I hope we do. But yeah, this is a really important stretch, and you know, like I said before, the market will dictate a lot of those things, but of course our play is going to dictate level of aggressiveness and needs as well.
All right, moving on, more about the trade deadline in terms of the market and the CBA next year, the battle that's going on between the league and the union in terms of those negotiations has put next season in some doubt. There's likely to be a lockout. I've been reporting on this at ESPN.com already. And if there's a lockout, it could extend into next season. So for people that don't know, if you trade for a player, let's say that has a year and 2 months left on his deal, meaning August and September of this year, then all of next year. Let's take the extreme example. If there's no baseball next season, his contract's done. He'll become a free agent. So you think you could be trading for a guy for a year and 2 months, and you're actually only getting 2 months. And that impacts what you're willing to give back. Obviously, you'll give back more if you know there's a year and 2 months left on his deal than you will if there's only 2 months left. So yes, you get your contract gets lopped off a year if there's no baseball in 2027. So Jed was asked how that could impact the trade market at the end of this month.
I think that's a question every team's going to have to answer for themselves. And I think by definition, if every team's answering that question for themselves, that creates instability, right? Yeah, so yeah. Maybe that's even a good way to define it. Everyone's going to think about 27 a little bit differently, and that could lead to some differences in opinion during the trade market.
Yeah. Last thing on the trade deadline, the idea that if the Cubs are in first place, they're likely to be more aggressive than if they're floundering in the wild card position. I've reported on that previously, but Jed softened his stance a little bit in terms of, okay, what is our record even if we're not in first place? Are we 15 to 20 games over 500 but still trailing Milwaukee, or are we closer to 500? That will inform him as well. So that I think is good to hear for Cub fans when it comes to how aggressive they will be because previously he has talked about if the World Series odds aren't great, we may not be as aggressive. Well, they're not going to be as great if you're in second place. Anyway, here's Jed Hoyer.
If we were 1/500, but all the other things were the same, you wouldn't feel like, okay, like, is this team that's a 500 team with a, you know, negative run differential or something like that, are we going to push in on that? Whereas I do think you have to look at how your team is playing, how you are relative to 500, you know, how are your underlying numbers, how's your health, et cetera. Because I think you have to understand your own team as well.
Last thing from Jed, just to put the Alex Bregman not running hard to first story to bed. He was asked about it on Friday. This is what he had to say.
I'll be honest, like, that play wasn't, I didn't discuss it. You know, I didn't discuss it with Craig. Our players haven't discussed it. I mean, I feel like that's kind of a non-issue. I mean, I think probably my favorite thing about this team is that this is the best prepared team I can ever imagine in terms of, I mean, they're in here every day. They're so diligent both with their bodies and with, you know, the advanced reports and trying to figure out how to win a game that, you know, it doesn't really even enter my mind that someone is not trying, that someone is not giving their 100%. If one of our players, Alex being one of them, but any of our players kind of shut it down in those moments, you know, because they're thinking about those kind of things, and I think that I trust them to make those decisions. And like I said, like, that to me is like, you know, if you said what's one completely stable element of our team, I think it's that diligence and that preparation.
I mentioned this on the podcast last week. I'm not surprised that's the attitude from the team. This is a veteran who usually hustles, but there's going to be moments, maybe because of past injuries, which he mentioned, that he may not give it 100% to first. He's not the only guy to do that. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you don't believe what Jed said about this team being ready. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt in this moment. I think you can do that. If it becomes a pattern, it's a different story. Then again, you don't know when the next bobble is going to happen. So, as I said in the podcast last week, in a close game, one-run game, whatever it is, maybe those are the moments you should always hustle, and then you pick your spots when you don't run as hard. And frankly, I don't think it matters if you're slumping or not. I don't. I think it has to do with the game situation more than anything. Okay, let's get to the vice president of scouting, Dan Kantrovitz. The draft is this weekend. The Cubs hold the 23rd pick in the first round. Chance to replenish the cupboard. It's a little bare on the pitching side, and that's where we'll start. It sounds like that the Cubs are going to draft some pitchers, invest in some pitching, and maybe change their strategy a little bit. Here's Kantrovitz over the weekend.
You can't take good pitching if you don't take pitching. So I think one of the things that we've looked at in years past, in the last few years in particular, is, well, how do we allocate more of our draft pool to pitching without leaking sort of wins or like overall just draft value, which has always been like our North Star. You know, we go into our draft being pretty agnostic of position player versus pitcher, you know, just wanting to take the best player available, you know, trying to, in the spirit of trying to just get the most wins out of the draft, future wins. And I think this year, you know, the reality is we're going to try to probably be a little less just dogmatic about like maybe sticking to that and realizing that, you know, practically to get more good pitching, we just might have to take more pitching. I think that's just the most obvious lever to pull.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. I mean, it seems obvious, right? If you want good pitching, you need to draft more pitching. It's about the ratio, right? If you take 10 pitchers and 10% make it, well, that's one. If you take 100 pitchers and 10% make it, then you've got 10. Now, that's an extreme example, but it sounds like they've always been in the mode of taking sort of the best player. And a lot of times the more predictable player is the hitter, is the college hitter especially. But this time they're going to look towards pitching. And that even includes understanding that there are going to be injuries. So here's Kantrovitz on, for example, the Cade Horton injury, but also not using that as an excuse in finding the next good pitcher.
Yeah, when Cade goes down, you know, I still think we look at that as like from a draft standpoint, that was a successful draft pick. And, you know, but at the same time, I think what you'd like to have is maybe, you know, then your next future Cade Horton maybe healthy in the organization somewhere. And so I think just the more that you can have, the better. I mean, the reality is, though, we've gone into the recent draft pools with a bottom third, pool. So it's like, if we increase the spending, it's not going to, just all of a sudden, turn from where it is now to a completely different spot. But I think you have to just know that injuries are a part of it, and that, that just speaks to probably having more pitching to step up when there are injuries.
So again, it sounds like the solution to everything, just take more pitching. So look for that this weekend. When the Cubs draft, whether it be the first round or in subsequent rounds, they're going to invest in pitching. Final thought from Kantrovich is the idea that colleges now have big money to spend on players. This is a change, obviously, with the nil money involved, right? Name, image, likeness. There is big money, especially in those SEC schools, to offer kids to come to college instead of going to professional baseball. They can match them in certain spots when it comes to signing bonuses. So here's Dan Kantrovich on the two things that stand out in this draft, starting with how deep it is.
I think there's two things that stand out. One is up top. I'm not so sure if it's as strong as it has been in past years. Now, what could make up for that is the depth in later rounds. And I think that tends to happen when you have that feeling that up top it's not quite as strong. And then second, I think we've talked about NIL stuff before. Everybody's mentioned that as something that could be a factor. I think you're now just starting to see, maybe because colleges, the budgets for NILs have been expanding, I think you're now going to start to see that really compete with draft signing bonuses at a certain point. And that could happen this year. And what does that mean? Well, I think that could mean that as you get later on into the draft, your options, you're going to get players that have very good options to go back to school, and so it's going to be difficult to for them to, if we only have X amount of dollars left in our pool, their best bet might be to go back to school in some cases. And I think this year, because of the budgets, the expanding budgets, and what appears to be expanding budgets with college and ILs, I think we might see some downstream effects there.
So the bottom line is a high school player that's drafted in the middle to late rounds might choose college over the pros because he can make more money in college. That's relatively new in the world of amateur and professional sports, but certainly a little bit more new when it comes to baseball and the amount of money that these colleges can spend on nil deals. So let's keep an eye on that as this draft unfolds.
Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
Time for our mailbag when you get to ask me questions, and producer Jack McGrath is back with those. Of course, you can leave the comments on the YouTube page, or you can tweet Jack McGrath. Jack, where can they find you?
They can find me at JackMcGrath1000 on Twitter. And then, as Jesse said, just leave them in the YouTube comments. That's the easiest way to do it, and we can answer them there.
All right, what do you got for me today?
The first one I will ask you, and you kind of mentioned this before, but will Jed part with prospects at the deadline if the Cubs only have a chance at the wild card and not necessarily as much at the division?
Yeah, we did bring it up, and I thought he softened his stance a little bit. Obviously, they're 10 over 500 as we tape this. If they get to 15 or 20, even if they're behind the Brewers, I do think he gets a little bit more aggressive, understanding that he is a really good team. It is tough to win four rounds in the playoffs, but we have seen it. Those teams with a bye certainly have an advantage, but they have lost. So I like the idea, like, hey, if we're really good, even in second place, maybe we will be more aggressive than normal. Previously, he had talked about it, but they were 4, 5, 6 games over 500. And he's like, our World Series odds aren't great. So if you get to 15 to 20 over, your World Series odds are better and you're more likely to be aggressive. So it doesn't have to be first place, but it'd be a lot easier to be aggressive if they were.
We have a fan who wants a reunion. He's asking, is there any chance that the Cubs go out and trade for Wilson Contreras, or is that bridge burned?
Oh, the bridge is not burned. I mean, I don't think they trade for him to be catcher. They're not doing that. You don't onboard a catcher like that unless you really have to. And, you know, Carson Kelly's fine. Miguel Amaya not having the same year he had last year. So would they trade for him to be a DH or something? Not first base, obviously, with Michael Busch. The answer is no. Their position players base is set. Those players are going to lead them or they're not. That's not the issue here. They're going to use their assets to trade for pitching. Obviously, they probably needed pitching even if most guys were healthy. But because of all the injuries, they're going to use every possible asset to get some pitchers in here. And that means not trading for Wilson Contreras. Although I do like the idea in a vacuum, but it's not going to happen.
Next question. Jesse, were you a fan of the Cubs growing up?
Yes, I was. I grew up a diehard Cub fan. I sat in the bleachers next to Harry Carey. I got there at 7 a.m. and waited till they opened up and was able to sit next to him. Went to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of games over the years. I was definitely a fan. That's how I fell in love with the sport. Was going to Wrigley Field. It's funny. The ivy has come up a lot this year. Craig Counsell's mentioned how much more lush it is, or just thick, or whatever the case is. And I mean, he's just thinking out loud. He doesn't know that for sure. But we have seen some balls get stuck in there. My point is, I remember going to Wrigley Field. It was my first dozen games I've ever been to, right? I wasn't going to other cities or to Comiskey Park at that time. I was only going to Wrigley Field. And I did not realize that, you know, very young age, 10 years old or whatever, I did not realize that other parks did not have ivy. I thought they all had ivy when I was very young. Even though I kind of watched it on TV, I didn't really realize that how unique Wrigley was and still is to this day. Think about that. They have grass growing, bushes growing on the outfield wall, and the ball can get lost in there. That sounds like something from a little league park, but that's what makes it unique and awesome. And this year, we've seen a lot of balls get lost in there, and the Cubs were saved by an inside the park homer, I think, because a ball got lost in there after PCA, you know, one got by PCA. So I grew up a Cub fan and always thought that every ballpark had ivy. There you go.
And then last question for you here. Javier Assad seems like a piece that a selling team might want back to try to eat innings in their rotation. Is there any chance Javier Assad is moved at the deadline?
Well, you must mean buying team. A buying team would want him back.
The question was posed as a selling team. I understand why a buying team would want him back as well.
Anyway, they're not trading pitching. I mean, they barely have enough arms to get through a week. They're not trading Javier Assad, who's under team control for a while. I mean, obviously, they could trade him as long as they got pitching back, but that just usually doesn't happen. When you are short in an area, especially on the mound, you don't trade from that area unless you are really selling. But he's not a pending free agent, and they need pitchers. They don't need to get rid of them. So, no, I don't think Javier Assad is on the move. All right, that's going to do it for Inside the Friendly Confines. Don't forget, next episode will feature the manager of the Chicago Cubs, Craig Counsell. Thanks for listening, folks. Talk to you next time.